invite you to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 22. You could just turn there, and we'll get into Luke 22 in just a moment. Going to be looking at the cross today, which is actually quite an interesting thing, and it wasn't on purpose. But last week, if you were here, you heard a little bit of a theological message that is important. It ties into today, and that is that the reason why Jesus came was in order to live and fulfill the law, to fulfill all righteousness, and he had to accomplish that over the course of 33 years. The reason why it was impossible for Jesus just to be sort of transported onto planet Earth and at 30 years old and forego a lifetime of living on Earth, the reason why that's impossible, or the reason why Jesus did not do that, the reason why Jesus had to be born of a virgin and live from first breath to final breath, the reason that had to happen, the significance of Jesus actually being born is not so much the cross as much as it is a life lived to fulfill the righteousness of God so that we could have righteousness imputed to us. And so we talked last week about a double imputation. It's interesting how many people said, I'm learning a lot of neat terms after Sunday's message. Imputation, that's a good one. So an imputation is a transfer. And so it's what's called the great transfer, the great shift, the great change. And that is that we exchange all of our sin and guilt and debt onto Jesus, and Jesus exchanges that for the righteousness that he fulfilled on the cross, having fulfilled all righteousness on earth, lived a perfect life, and he grants us that righteousness so that what's happening is that we're not just innocent. The death on the cross would have made us innocent, and that would be good, but we're not just innocent. We are counted righteous. And that's all the difference in the world, is that we have the righteousness of Jesus imparted on our behalf. And today, what we celebrate is the flip of that other side of the coin. It's the second part of the imputing. It's the imputing that we get the righteousness of Jesus. That's one half. The other half of the imputation, of the imparting, is that we get all our sin debt dealt to Jesus. And that's what we celebrate with communion. That's what we celebrate with the cross, is the idea that Jesus is a satisfactory, substitutionary lamb, an atonement, a covering for our sin. So in a sense, not to make too big a theological point, but in a sense, the birth represents a life of Jesus, represents the righteousness of Jesus fulfilled and imparted to us, and the death represents the debt that we owe, the sin debt that we owe, imparted to Jesus. That is, I think, the great mystery, is why would God do this for us? Why would God love us such that he would die on the cross for us, and better than that, give us his resume in exchange for our rap sheet? That to me is a mystery, and I don't understand it, but it's grace is the answer. It's overwhelming grace and love. We can't understand it, but nevertheless, that's what we have. And so when we look at it that way, it is a great privilege and a joy to partake in communion. So today I'm just going to kind of look through some verses this morning out of the book of Luke, and then we'll partake in communion together. Did I pray yet? I'm going to pray. Even if I prayed already, I'm going to pray again. And then we're going to look at Luke chapter 22. Lord, we love you. We are excited for all that you have in store for this church. And we're thankful for the plans that you have laid for us. And we pray that we reach the goals that you have before us, and that we reach them as unto the Lord for your glory. And we have a big task ahead. God, we're thankful for so many people that serve in ways that are unseen. People that clean snow and lock up. So many workers. Lord, I pray that you would extend to them a measure of grace and blessing for their heart of service. And Lord, for those that aren't serving in any capacity, I pray, God, that you would put it on their heart to serve in one way or another in 2018, that we'd have a lot of participation as we move forward for the kingdom of God in this place. We're thankful for what makes this all possible, and that is the blood of Jesus shed once and for all time, once and for all people, on our account at the cross. And the capacity that we have to celebrate it in communion, we're thankful today. Bless us, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 22. Verse 14. When the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I've earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on till the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took this cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. That's a good passage, just kind of grounds us into what we're going to participate in today. We're reminded that in the book of Acts that the early church found this really important. You might even say that it was the core value for them early in the church were four things. The teaching of the word in the book of Acts, we read this, that they were all about the teaching of the word. They were about fellowship with one another, right? They were about communion first and foremost, and prayer. And so as we look at these four things that were central to the early church, prayer, God's word, a communion, fellowship, I think it's important. I think maybe we need to make a bigger deal of this next year, at least as a conviction that I'm coming to a little bit, that not necessarily that we do it more often, though that might be part of it, but that we certainly take this with the kind of seriousness as a church that it deserves, that we're here when we celebrate communion together, because the church found this very important, and we too ought to find our time together important this time when we celebrate that Jesus became man, emptied himself. Remember the kenosis, that he emptied himself, became 100% man. And we forget often that Jesus is 100% God, absolutely, but he also was 100% man. That means that when he says, I'm going to suffer, that he suffered in the way that you would suffer. That there's no special sort of divine protection over Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, he suffered a tremendous brutal death, and he felt that every bit as much as you and I would feel that kind of death, because he was 100% God, but not negating the fact that he was 100% man. And so we look at this passage and we're reminded of a few things. And first and foremost, that this giving of himself, this sacrifice of blood for us, is a remembrance, is a reminder of what happened at Passover. If you'll remember the story, Jesus died the day or the morning after Passover as our Passover lamb. Jesus is here celebrating Passover with his disciples. And remember what Passover was. It's just kind of a quick, brief history of Passover. Israel, land of Egypt, they are in the middle of plagues, and Pharaoh will not release the children of Israel. I'm going to remember that story. You remember that story. And so the children of Israel endure with, maybe with some protection, but with the Egyptians, 9 plagues up to this point. And finally, God says, okay, 10th plague, this is it. Get a lamb, sacrifice that lamb, and put blood over your doorpost. And when this happens, when you put your blood over the doorpost, if blood is not found on that door, then whoever's in that household, if blood's not found there, then your child, your firstborn, will die that night. And so you can imagine that the Egyptians did not play this game. And that night, in the middle of the night, the Spirit of God came into Egypt, and all the firstborn children, which is actually quite amazing. Thank God I'm not firstborn. But all firstborn male children died. In some cases, that would mean that a father would die and a son. A father who was a firstborn father and a son in the same family. Can you imagine the spouse's grief the morning when they realized that both her husband and her child had had died? Tremendous death, such that God's word records in the book of Exodus that the wailing could be heard for such a long time and for such a tremendous distance. But if blood was found on the post, the angel of the Lord would pass over that house and not kill the firstborn child, the firstborn son. And that passing over the house is where we get the term Passover. And so as a memorial to that event, every year the children of Israel for thousands of years would celebrate and do and partake of the Passover as a remembrance of what had happened in Egypt the 1,000 years before. And they'd celebrate Passover. And indeed, they would bring a lamb, an unblemished lamb, to the priest, and the priest would slaughter the lamb, and they would, and that lamb would be the sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice, the covering sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. So Passover was also known as the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur. So on Yom Kippur, they did this for thousands of years. They would celebrate the Day of Atonement. But do you realize something? That all those years of thousands of, tens of thousands of animals, tens of thousands of gallons of blood shed on behalf of the children of Israel and the covering of their sin, there's never a moment where any of that blood ever paid for the sin of the people. All it was a covering. In fact, God's word says in verse, let me find it. Verse 16, for I say to you, I shall never again eat until it is fulfilled. And that's an interesting word. that word fulfilled. What's fulfilled? The payment. The payment. The payment of sin and debt for us was paid, fulfilled at the cross. But not just our sin, all the sin of all the people in all of history in Egypt for the 2,000, 3,000 years before this moment, all of that sin that the blood and goats had just covered, all that covering, all that atoning was actually paid for once and for all. All that history of sin and debt Jesus bore on the cross for all of the children of Israel, for all that past sin and all of future sin forever. So that blood never paid for anything. All these animals, it was just a picture. What actually paid for it was Jesus' blood on the cross. They were just looking forward. The Passover was just a picture. All these dead animals were just pictures and reminders of what was going to happen, a picture and a reminder of what Jesus would do on the cross and fulfill it. But the sin debt wasn't the animal. It was Jesus on the cross. That's what fulfilled all that debt. And so when Jesus dies on the cross, he's bearing the sin of the whole world, past all of Egypt, all the sin of the children of Israel that the blood of animals only covered. Jesus paid for on that day. And Jesus paid for all the sin that you committed and that you will commit forever, and all the sinners' sins that will ever be committed in the future. Jesus paid for. All that sin was laid to Jesus on the cross. Can you imagine the crushing debt and sin that was there that Jesus paid for? If we did today, excuse me, another edit. Imagine if we did today, I don't know if anybody would want to participate, but if I said, Nick, and then we're going to go around, and I want you to list the five greatest sins that you've ever committed. We just kind of go around the room. That'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? Until it came to you. And it wouldn't be so much fun. The five greatest sins. If we did that, though, and we went through the process of doing that, the amount of sin in this room represented, just in this room, the amount of shame, the amount of disgust that we would have, the amount of sorrow that we would have, that in this room we'd listed hundreds of sins in this room that would in some cases be in all cases would be egregious, would be crushing. We would be feel sick. Do you know what I mean? We'd feel sick to think through just our top five just in this room. If we went through that process, we would have a sense of tremendous remorse and sadness about how bad we are. And yet, imagine that coupled to all the people, all the world, all their sin forever. Jesus bears all that for us. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Jesus and the weight of all that? Can you imagine that there's no doubt for why the reason why God would have to turn his face on his child, on his son, Jesus, because he could not look on that kind of grotesque sin. And yet our sin was there. Our top five. Our top ten, all the sin that we've ever committed, not just mine and yours, but everybody that's ever lived, God bore the sin on the cross for them. I'm not finding this a tremendous reality. There's no false God in the world. There's no Muhammad, no Allah, no Buddha that has anything that comes close to the kind of love that Jesus demonstrates on the cross. So keep all the other religions. I'm happy to be in the bloody one that we are attached to, where Jesus' blood is the only thing that can pay for my sin, and the kind of love and the kind of sacrifice that is for us. I'm glad to be a Christian today. I'm not ashamed of that at all. No, I'm not going to apologize for being a Christian today because it seems rude and inconsiderate to other religions. That's fine. It could be whatever it needs to be. But I'm proud that I'm found in Jesus today. That Jesus bore the sin of my sin and debt for me on the cross. I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm so thankful today. Let us be a people that are boldly passionate about what we have here. And that is a faith in which we serve a God that would love us enough to pay for all of our detestable sickness and sin. I'm so thankful today. We serve a good God. And God's word says, the Passover with before I suffer, for verse 16, I say to you, I shall never again eat until it is finished in the kingdom of God, fulfilled. Until the end, until this sacrificial system finds an end, accomplished, finished in Christ. No need for other sacrifices. Certainly no need for you and I to earn a thing. It's been earned. It's been earned. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I just underline this idea, do this in remembrance of me. Because with Passover for thousands of years, the children of Israel were doing it to remember what? Egypt. They were doing it to remember the passing of away from the slavery of Egypt into freedom, promised land. That's what they were celebrating. We're not celebrating that now. That's in the past. That was old Passover. Now we have a new covenant, a new system, and we're remembering different things. Now we remember it. We do this to remember what? Simple. Jesus. We're remembering his gospel, this idea that we're now set free from not the slavery and chains of Egypt. We're set free from the slavery of sin and given new life in Jesus. A promised land of life and eternal life ahead. That's what we remember. Our Catholic friends have an idea that when you take this bread and drink the cup, and in some circles when a bell is rung, that the bread and the juice magically in some way becomes the blood and body of Jesus in us, literally. That and this theology is called transubstantiation. This idea that the Catholics believe that this wafer and this blood become Jesus. And the reason is because then when it's in you, it gives you some kind of power of some sort. And the reason why this is such a tremendous, tremendous, tremendously bad theology is not because it's wrong, because God's word, and not because it's not in the Bible anywhere, although those are good enough reasons for it to be bad theology. But the reason why this is bad theology is because we don't partake of this for our benefit so that we get something in us that gives us some kind of special grace and some kind of special power. This is not about us. This is only about remembering Jesus. We don't take it so that we get some sort of divine special infusion of grace. That is not what this is. This is no more and no less than an opportunity to remember all that Jesus did for us. And beyond that, it has no special spiritual power over us or anything like that. It's just an opportunity to remember Jesus. This is not about us. This is about Jesus. And God forbid that we make it about us. We would be no different or better than our errant friends, the ones that are believers in the Catholic Church. Is that crystal clear? This is not about us. This is an opportunity for us to remember Jesus. Day of Atonement is when they would have done this. What we celebrate this morning is atonement, but not really. Atonement was covering. Atonement was, that's what the atonement means, covering. And Jesus absolutely atones for our sin, but he does more than cover. He washes us white as snow, and he eliminates our sin as far as the east is from the west, never to be brought up again. We are clean, not just covered. Covered is what my dog's mess in our yard is with the snow right now. But the mess still exists. That's not the kind of atonement Jesus paid for. The kind of atonement Jesus paid for is sin taken from us. Us washed clean, no sin, and Jesus' righteousness imputed on our behalf. That's good. Not covering. A cheap substitute. We're happy for the real thing. We're happy for what Jesus and only Jesus could accomplish on the cross for us. What not a thousand or a million goats could ever do. Not a million lambs, not a million unspotted lambs could do what Jesus did on the cross for us. And that is to cover, to wipe out, to clean, and to substitute righteousness on our behalf. That's what Jesus did on the cross. That's what we celebrate today. It's a good day. It's a big, big day. And it's a tremendous privilege, an honor. It is something that we ought to take very seriously if we come to the Lord's table today together. You ought to take it seriously. What should I be doing? Remember Jesus. You should remember Jesus. That's what you ought to do. Let's pray.